This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.theparish.org. The following sermon was preached on Sunday, December 13, 2015, the third Sunday of Advent, by Father William Doc Holliday.
Rejoice and exult with all your heart. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Rejoice and exult with all your heart. Today is a little glimmer of light in this penitential season of Advent. And it's a time when we should reflect on this Gaudete Sunday, or the Sunday of rejoicing. The 1962 Roman Missal at the beginning of this day say it's the day in which the Church urges us to gladness in the midst of this time of expectation and penance. In both of the times of penance in the Church, Advent and Lent, there's one day during those times, about the halfway point-ish, that we focus our attention on to whom we are looking forward, and that to whom is our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm always harping on the fact that in our liturgy, that there needs to be substance under the form. You just don't come in here to see the show. You like this music better than that. You like the way this is presented better than that. There are debates that can be made as to better or worse presentations. But the bottom line is, it doesn't matter what the presentation is if there's not substance under that presentation. There has to be a reality there. If there's no reality, it's all for nothing. Absolutely nothing. And where the readings take us today is this understanding of, although, albeit a penitential season, Advent is a time in which we look forward to joy. And unfortunately, I think in our day, Advent is just Christmas time. Actually, Christmas starts on Christmas, and then you have 12 days after that, it's Christmas time. The preparation for Christmas time is a time of penance. It's a time of looking forward. During this time, we have this little glimmer that goes on, is that you're focusing towards something that is truly joyous. So persevere in this time of penance and expectation, and know that something real is going to happen for you. The first reading today, as I said, the whole Gaudete Sunday, rejoice, joy. How many times do you read that on Christmas cards, see it on banners across highways, joy, rejoice, any derivative thereof? What does that mean? What means to be happy? Is it just some base emotionalism? Or are we happy about something? Or I would submit to you, we are happy about someone. This is driven home by the decorations that we see this time. They're beautiful, right? Drive around, houses, businesses and stuff like that. Somebody after Mass yesterday morning came up to me and said, we were driving, and they named the place. They have it decorated so beautiful. And my initial reaction, and I said, why? Why is it decorated so beautifully for Christmas? Because in other times of the year, there are decorations there that laud the most heinous sins. There are parades that glory in heinous sin. And now it's Christmas time, and we're going to put lights up. Why? Why are there lights? There's a reason behind it. And this time of year is a virtual cornucopia of evangelistic opportunities. You can just walk around your neighborhood. Aren't those beautiful Christmas lights? You should be able to respond, yes, they are. And then you could take it to another. What do they represent? They represent the light that came into the world at Christmas time. Not a philosophy, not a religion, but Jesus Christ himself.
the God-man. He clothes himself with flesh and comes in. The light shines in the darkness. And a lot of times, I would say most of the time, the darkness comprehends it not. They don't get it. You know, like I said, you decorate up certain places for Christmas and then decorate them up for heinous sins at other times. Why? Why are there Christmas lights? Everything that we do at Christmas time is focused on, or ought to be focused on, Jesus Christ. It sounds so churchy, and it's unfortunate, but it sounds so campy. The bumper stickers and the magnets that you see at keep Christ in Christmas. Jesus is the reason for the season. Yes, absolutely, that is the case, but it's much deeper than that. Do you really understand what that means? The fact that God is with us. Again, this place, decorations are, you know, they're replete with evangelistic opportunities. The most secular people have the blow up Santa Claus thing in their yard with the lights on it, you know? Oh, isn't that a cute Santa Claus? Yeah. What is this whole Santa Claus thing? St. Nicholas, a Catholic bishop who is known for his charity because he wanted to emulate his Lord Jesus Christ. Those are the areas you could take this kind of stuff, and we should. But first and foremost, we need to, within ourselves, understand the reality about what's going on here. Not bumper stickers, not car magnets. And I'm not down yet. I'll throw them on mine every now and then. But there's got to be a rationale for the whole thing. And the fact of the matter is because He is with us. That Old Testament reading from Zephaniah today, an Old Testament prophecy, but the end of it is a song. And that song is about rejoicing. In the context in which it was presented to the people of Israel, it was their return from another exile, specifically in Babylon in this case, and the restoration of Jerusalem. They did truly have reason to be happy, to rejoice and exult, because they were taken out of slavery and brought back, and they could restore the temple. They could restore their worship in Jerusalem. They should have been happy. How much more happy should we be? They should have been happy because of a real estate deal. That's what it was. You know, God gave them a promised land, and then that promised land, what happens? You know, they get kicked out of it time and time again because they turn their back on God. And then He brings them back, and they restore the temple again and again, goes and comes. We have something so much more, because what we have is never going to go away. We can reject it, but He will never go away. As I said, these people had reason to rejoice, but we have much more reason to rejoice. God actually tells them through the Holy Spirit why they should rejoice. And again, this is back in their day when it was all kind of types and shadows. They were where there's no substance like we have. The Lord has taken away the judgments against you. The King of Israel is in your midst. The Lord your God is in your midst. He will rejoice over you. He will renew you. He will exult over you. Look at that. It's all about God. It's all about God. He doesn't one time say, you know, go in this place and make sure it's real clean and make sure that everything is set up nice. Or, you know, He doesn't emphasize, you know, oh, you know, give to all the poor people that are there. Do this, which are all good things. But the bottom line is He emphasizes His presence with them. This is about Me. I have taken away your sins. I am in your midst. I will rejoice over you. I will renew you. I will exult over you. It's an interesting thing to think about, because we said, oh, this time of year is when we should feel joyful about God. But God says here that He feels joyful about us. That should be somewhat intimidating to us. I'll point my fingers at myself. You know, for me to think that God rejoices in any way, shape, or form over me, because I know myself. I know how I am. And I think to myself, God ought to be infuriated at me. And He says that He rejoices and exalts over me. He says that about you. He says that about us. It is His joy this time of year That's what makes it so deep for us. It's not when we, the next time you, the joy, joy, joy thing across the street, for a moment, think. That's not about you feeling good. You should feel good. But it's first and foremost about God feeling good about you and what He has done for you. It is His joy, not ours. We are joyful because of His joy for us. I can't emphasize enough how happy the people of ancient Israel were about this whole real estate deal, as I put it before. They were happy about something that was shadowy. God was in their midst in the temple. He was in their midst symbolically in the tabernacle. All these symbols, all these pictures. We have God for real. God Himself. Not a cloud, not fire, not light, not rumblings and earthquakes and stuff like that. We have God Himself. To read that prophecy from Zephaniah as the Holy Spirit speaks through the prophet and understand all those, you know, I do this for you and I do that for you and I exalt in you and I rejoice over you. All those things that are God-centered that unfortunately in our day and age specifically over the past 50 years, the orientation has skewed. It has gone away from God and being Christocentric or Christ-centered to being man-centered, how you feel about things, what you think about things. That is not the way it's supposed to be. We are supposed to be focused and centered on God. What happens with us is ancillary, and it's a consequence of embracing God for who He is and the joy that He has in each and every one of us. And for us, it is so much more real than for them. The incarnation, the annunciation, all those things that the Holy Spirit speaks to the prophet when the angel announces to the Blessed Virgin Mary the coming of the Christ child, all these things equate, they become real. They don't become symbolic anymore. You know, in the symbolism of the Old Testament, we read, "Let not your hands grow weak." The people should know who they are before God. They should know their weakness. They should know their sin. And He says in the Old Testament, "Let not your hands grow weak." But when the Annunciation comes, the angel comforts Mary by telling her that the Lord is with her, and she responds that He has regarded the lowliness of His handmaiden. She understands her weakness before Him. She understands her nature as a creature before His nature as the Creator. We should all do that. In Zephaniah, we are invited to rejoice. In the Annunciation, "Hail Mary, full of grace." That's an invitation to rejoice. Rejoice, Mary. The Lord is with you. In Zephaniah, "Do not fear, O Zion. Do not fear, people of Israel." He says the same exact thing. "Fear not, Mary," because she's disturbed at the Annunciation. She doesn't understand. And He says, "Fear not, Mary." Why shouldn't she fear? "The Lord is with you." Again, not in some type or shadow, the Lord Himself, God Almighty. He clothes Himself with flesh, and He is the one that the universe cannot contain, enshrines Himself in the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary. The Lord is with you. That is the emphasis. That is this whole Advent season. Our expectation of the coming of the Messiah and glorying and honoring what happened in the past, but to understand that He's going to come again just assuredly as our judge. And to rejoice in that as His people. Because the things that He said about the ancient Israeli people apply to us even more so. The Lord has taken away the judgments against you. For them it was conjecture. How's He going to do that? We know for a fact, historically, how He did it. We know how He has taken away the judgments from us because He is in our midst. He is the only one that could have taken away the judgments. No human being could do it. No human being is good enough. God Himself had to do it. That is why we rejoice because he loves us. You know, we hear about the season of joy and of love. We cannot comprehend the way he loves us. You know, we love to give people presents that it doesn't happen frequently. It doesn't happen every year. But there are some times when you can give someone something that maybe they couldn't ever have afforded, or they just, you know, situations just prohibited them from that. And you have the opportunity to give it to them. Every now and then, that's it. And you feel so good about giving somebody something like that, no matter what it might be. To see that that somebody is truly happy. It's just not the thing that gets wadded up and put over and put in a closet somewhere. But actually something that they love it. And it really makes you feel good to do that. Well, that's because I love them. And that's good. Would you ever consider giving the life of one of your children for someone? You can't even conceive of that. You can't even comprehend love like that. Here, I'll let one of my children die for you because I love you that much. It doesn't happen. We can't even get our minds around that. And yet, he did it for us. He gave his only begotten son to die for us. He turned him over to the death of the cross for us. That is what we look forward to. That is in what we rejoice. It's not our joy. It is his joy for us, because only a person that would have a joy that is inconceivable to us could do something like that. We need to rejoice in the Lord's redemption. The prophecy comes to fulfillment that trouble can no longer overwhelm us. It doesn't matter what happens in this world. It can't overwhelm you. Notice it doesn't say that trouble is going to go away. It just says that it will not overwhelm you. And there is always the caveat. You are part of this. It's just not sit back and enjoy. You are part of this. What you have to do is you have to make him king of your life in absolutely every aspect. Not king when you come into these four walls. Not king when you're reading the scriptures. King all the time in everything that you do. In your relationships. In your finances. Everything. He has to be king. Then trouble will not overwhelm you. Why? Because he loves you. He loves us to the cross. He loves us so much that we, again, you cannot even comprehend how much you think of the person whom you love most, or persons, and then think it's inconsequential to the way he loves you. That is why we rejoice. So when you see the lights and you see the joy on the banners across there, understand that it's not first and foremost your joy about him. It's his joy about you. Father and Son, the Holy Ghost. Amen.